Well, hello and welcome to Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. I'm your host, Doug Hall, and you've just been enjoying a jazz guitar introduction with our guest today, who is Gabriel Jones, who is currently enrolled in the Berklee College of Music. And welcome, Gabriel.
Thank you very much. We look forward
to having a 30-minute conversation with you and talking about your musical background and your experience at Berklee, and also some of your compositional and performance activities. I do want to briefly review your resume and background so that the audience can be aware of Gabriel's foundation and background in music and jazz. He is from Bordeaux, France, and as I mentioned, enrolled in the Berklee College of Music program. Specifically, he is double majoring in film and media scoring and performance.
Yes.
Interesting. And you're set to graduate in 24?
Well, technically 2025.
Okay.
But it's just that, yeah, on my transcripts, it should be 2024.
Okay.
But I'm planning on 2025.
All right. And you've also already played in some larger venues here in Boston, House of Blues, and particularly at the MGM Fenway Hall as a lead guitar player for the Singers Showcase, Girl on Fire, the music of Alicia Keys. And during that performance, you had an opportunity to play alongside another Berklee alumni, who is very well known in the area and nationally, the alto sax star Grace Kelly. And in addition to that, I read that you are involved at Berklee with a snarky puppy ensemble, which is an interesting concept. And you're also being mentored by Marty Walsh in that process, who is a well-known professional session player, a guitarist who has played with Donna Summer, Supertramp, Christopher Cross, Randy Crawford, and others. So that is quite a busy resume already. So congratulations, and we're very happy to have you here today. We are going to have an opportunity to listen to Gabriel perform two compositions today, and we'll have a chance to talk about each of them afterwards. So I thought we would segue to playing the first composition, if you wanted to give the audience an introduction at all about the piece, that would be fine.
So it's a piece that I wrote fairly recently because I most of my compositions are like film scoring assignments, to be fair. But so I spent most of my composition time writing for orchestras and writing for film score, studying subtractive synthesis, and scoring to picture is very different than writing in general for guitar and for solo guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece, when I got your message about me coming here, I was like, okay, I'm gonna write something that I had in mind for a long time.
Okay.
So this piece is actually based on when I was going on vacations with my parents.
Okay.
When I was between 5 and 10, we would go to always the same place called Le Cat.
Okay.
It's a nice place in Languedoc-Roussillon in the south of France.
Uh-huh.
And so this composition is all about the feeling that I had, that feeling of discovering, you know, going on vacation as a kid. And Pat Metheny, the album Letter from Home, was always playing in the background when we were in the car. And
perfect.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so it gave a specific color to my arrival, and so every time I was thinking about the vacation, I had also the Pat Metheny sound in my ear.
Right.
So I took some from that, some from inspiration from Matias Azaro, who is a Brazilian guitar player that has been one of my heroes for a long time, and Mike Stern. Mike Stern. Yes. I got the chance to meet him when he came to give a masterclass at Berkeley. And yeah, they all inspired me. So I was inspired by them to write this composition, and I wrote the ending yesterday.
Very fresh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. That was a very expressive introduction. Thank you.
Thank you.
And do we have a title?
So, as of now,
that's okay.
We could have one, which would be. By the window, which because I was, I was often watching everything that was happening by the window and listening to the music when I was a kid, and so I was watching all of these beautiful landscapes and smelling this, you know, the flavors,
yes,
you know, of the south of France. So it was beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
You want me to play it, right?
Please. Wow, I think I just went to the coast of France, and I think I was just looking out the window for a moment.
Thank you.
That's lovely. It's so soft, and as you've already shown your hand a bit on Pat Metheny being a favorite, and the tonal quality of him and Wes Montgomery comes through.
Yeah.
A wonderful mood to it, and melody, it seems, both kind of contemplative yet joyful, almost like, yeah. as you said, you're a lot younger, and yeah. you're, in a sense, looking at the surprise and the excitement of everything that you've talked about,
yeah,
looking through that window on the coast of France.
So. Definitely.
Lovely, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like that melody, the...
Yes.
It's a very, right. actually, it's a very, not childish, but a little bit childish melody, which, with all the chords, mm-hmm. that we can add to it to give it color and,
right.
you know, the chords are kind of what makes it grow up a little bit.
Right. Wow, that's well said. Yeah, a lovely piece with all that's involved. It's wonderful to have a chance to talk to an artist who's just composed a piece and actually talk a little bit about what's involved and what the result is, which is lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we will continue right directly to the next piece.
Yeah.
And I'll just have you again, if you want to set it up at all and talk a little bit about what that piece will be.
Well, that is just kind of my take on Sonny.
Yes, okay.
So it's right. just because, so back when I don't know if I mentioned that, but so I got the chance to study with many different private instructors, and which right. one of them was Tomo Fujita,
okay.
Who was the guitar teacher for John Mayer for
oh, really?
A very long time.
Oh, okay.
And I remember coming in, he was like, "What is that tone that you have? Like it doesn't sound organic." And he was like, "Have you been practicing with some kind of like amp simulation?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've been, just because I don't want to be loud." And
right.
he was like, "Okay, but it sounds weird. It sounds like you were practicing in the wrong way." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And then he was like, "And play me something." I was like, mm-hmm. "What do you mean, play you something?" He was like, because I'm used to improvising with other people,
mm-hmm.
he was like, "Oh, you could play just something." And I was like, "But I don't know how to walk, you know?"
Right, like, yeah, in front of a new instructor, a little intimidating. Yeah. "Just play something," he says.
So I was like, "Okay." And he was like, "You need to know how to play a piece by yourself, and it grows." And I was like, "Wow." And I was like, "Oh, I'll try Sonny." And Sonny has a very, it's very playable on solo guitar.
Right.
And also it's really easy to hear the changes and the melody even mm-hmm. without being accompanied. So
right.
I chose Sonny.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And I'm just, for the audience's recognition, who would you say would be the top two or top jazz musicians that play Sonny and made it famous?
Wow.
I mean, I know it's been covered by everybody.
Yeah, kind of.
On guitar?
I kind of like... No, go ahead.
You were going to say, I think we talked about George Benson
yeah.
earlier.
George right? Benson, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I liked... I don't know if they did it, but I think they did. Tom Quayle and Martin Miller are two players from... So Martin Miller is from Germany, and Tom Quayle is from England, or actually maybe he's from Scotland. But I don't exactly remember. And they do these duo things where they played House Insensitive and...
Okay.
And they played also Sonny, I think.
Oh, interesting combination.
And so it was a really... I mean, I just really like how they play, but I kind of tried to picture in my head how Sonny would be played by one of my favorite guitar players.
Sure, sure.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have your version.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I just was reminded about, you know, how many semi-pop songs or more commercial songs lend themselves to so much experimentation with jazz musicians on a given instrument. And that's a wonderful example of that. All the places that you went with the simple, the chord structure and the melody, and to leave it and to follow a lead and then segue right back into it. And it has a lot, it has a faster beat to it.
Yeah.
So you can keep on kind of punching at the next chord progression.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I'm thinking also about all the many jazz vocalists that have covered that song as well. Probably Tony Bennett and maybe Sarah Vaughan, and the list goes on. That's a lovely sound. And you have that tone again of yours. It seems like a kind of a natural segue into the first question. Do you feel, I mean, with all the exploration that you're doing at your age and your stage in your career, with I can only imagine some of the musicians that you're meeting and playing with at Berklee, do you find that yourself or others are already really focusing and finding their own style, if that's the right word? Or is it still both the need to absorb and explore?
I feel like Berklee has a lot of different levels. I mean, the first guitar player I saw that was playing, his name is Amaury Cabral, and he's playing with Brecker currently.
Oh,
Randy Brecker.
Oh, right, with Randy Brecker?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he recorded with Nate Smith and all of that. And I was like, ah, you know,
wow.
And he already had that, his sound, he already had absorbed a lot. Mm-hmm. And he really inspired me. When I saw him play, I was like, wow, okay, I have a lot to learn. So I think it depends on where the people are at in terms of music.
Right.
A lot of people are coming to Berklee to be artists and to share their voice. I know I didn't really come for that. I came for just being a player and a composer for media, which you need. You have basically something that we tell you to do, you know.
Okay.
Like I have kind of a hard time making choices.
Right.
Know? Sometimes I'm like, oh, this sounds great, but this sounds great too. And and when people like, I've been doing a lot of sessions and a lot of concerts, and I just like to have a clear idea about what I have to play.
Sure.
And then I'm kind of in a structure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty nice to have that. And I mean, people at Berklee, at least I'm from the part where I still grasp everything I can style-wise. I've never really settled.
Sure. That seems like a healthy way to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this stage. Yeah. So moving on to your live performances, interestingly enough, you've certainly been with already several established musicians, Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
And then mentoring with Marty Walsh. What would you say you learn kind of instinctively, or because you're in the moment and you're at that stage and you're with performers at that level, what is that? Does that force you to learn something in particular, a skill that you pick up?
Yes. Being able to adapt.
Ah, okay.
And also just how prepared they are and how, like, so I've seen a lot of people that are like great and they sound great on records and everything.
Right.
But in the real world, where it's not videos or everything, it's not the same level.
Yes.
You know, between video and recording and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that capacity that Grace had when she came up on stage, she was there for like our last rehearsal before the show, and she had a solo on a song that goes, I don't know, Loving You Is Easy was one of the words.
Okay, sure.
But
right,
Loving You, I think.
Right,
it's
okay.
And she was coming in and doing that wonderful solo. And she just came in for one solo and then she left because she's super busy, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, wow, she ripped off instantly and she just left. So being able to be really good at something really fast, and I'm working on it a lot because especially in sessions, it's something that you've never seen before. You may have it 2-3 days before, and you have to make it work, you know. And and the studio time, luckily at Berkeley, is free. We usually don't have a lot of time. So being able to do something great fast.
Interesting observation. Thank you. And going kind of backwards to the core of musicians who are Berkeley students you're playing with, I can see that you're very involved, obviously with an emphasis in performance, with, you even mentioned in your resume, 25 different musicians over the last several years. You're learning from other people playing different instruments, but still what you see and hear on the piano or on the saxophone is something that's translatable.
Yeah, to you. I mean, there's some stuff, for example, I've always been like really interested with Bill Evans.
Oh, okay.
His voicings.
Okay, voicings.
And
okay.
I see, for example, him doing, you know, like, I don't know, crazy voicings, like, which this is pretty easy to do on piano because it's a cluster.
Right.
But doing this on guitar is it's a
stretching,
big stretch.
How many frets? Yeah.
Yeah. And
six.
So it's like very, very intense. Same, the kind of like in fourth of Michael McCoy Tyner. You know? All of that stuff, it's something that you have to accept that you cannot really sound like that on you cannot, it's not that you can't sound like it, but it's this instrument has limitations.
Right.
There's some stuff that inspires me a lot from other musicians, especially saxophone as well.
Right.
I'm a big fan of Michael Brecker. Everything he does is amazing.
Yeah.
And
he was such an influence. He remains such an influence. Yeah.
I think he'll always be just because his sound, his and his energy, and when he so this way that he has of going into a note, you know, doing a run and going, we can't really have that because he can, you know, he can play one note differently in terms of intensity.
Got it.
Compared to you know, so he. This note will always be kind of the same, but he can go like, you know, like he can scream it.
Got
almost.
It. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've learned about the limitations of my instrument, but as well as the capabilities of my instrument.
Right. So, well, that's very well said, and I think that's something that people don't realize, that when musicians are around one another, they're sharing regardless of their instrument. But well, our interview is sadly coming to a close already, but we've certainly enjoyed listening to your song selections and having a very good conversation about music and jazz. And your career is really just beginning. And this is a very exciting moment in time for you. And I certainly want to personally wish you all the success.
Thank you.
And keep exploring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. We've had the pleasure of listening to our guest guitarist, jazz guitarist Gabriel Jones. And Gabriel, why don't you take us out of this episode?